Sands, and you're listening to Gospel Alliance Radio, a ministry of United in Christ Jesus. It's so good to be back with you tonight. I've actually got all the windows open up and I'm just enjoying the nice cold, cool air. It's been crazy here in the state of Ohio with temperatures going up and down and everywhere. Finally, some good weather. I got a nice cup of coffee beside me and a glass of water. And most importantly, an opportunity to join with you to talk about tonight a subject that I think gets overlooked or misunderstood. It's really, really important. And I think as I get into it, you'll begin to see it a little bit more clearly. Tonight we're going to be talking about, as lawlessness increases, most people's love will grow cold. It's a section, it's a part of scripture out of Matthew 24. It's actually verse 12. And we're going to take a look at it because most times people think that this is about, you know, all the things that are going on in the world. But if we actually take the time to look at the context of the scripture and then other scriptures throughout God's word, we find out that this love growing cold isn't predominantly because of what's happening in the world, but what's actually happening, quote, within the Christian church. And we're going to take a look at that. And I think for many of you, you're going to be able to relate. I know that I do, and the more time I take to study it and understand, it also brings about a deeper sense of conviction in my own life about grace. How do I extend more grace? How do I continue to carry on in the face of so much, quote, lawlessness? And we're going to take a look at that here very shortly. Before we get going, I'd like to take a minute to open up with prayer and ask the Lord's blessings. If you are interested in calling in tonight, have a question or a comment, just dial 929-477-1395. 929-477-1395. Love to hear from you. So let's go to the Lord and ask his blessings. O righteous Heavenly Father, glorious and majestic, seated and enthroned in heaven, and yet the highest heavens and all of creation cannot contain you. You are God and worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Bless you that you have so desired to glorify your name, exalting your Son to your right hand after he had come in the likeness of sinful flesh, after he had come according to your great plan, willfully and voluntarily shedding the royal robes of heaven and coming into his own creation, humbly and living the life that we could not and dying the death that we deserve. Rising from the grave victorious after he had died on the cross as a substitution and a sacrifice. Now, who is seated at your right hand, ruling and reigning, and in the time that you have appointed, returning. O righteous Father, tonight we ask that you would grant us by your Spirit to have eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would lead us in your word, and that you would stir our hearts afresh, that our love would grow and increase, that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, would ever increase, and the deeds of the flesh would ever decrease. O righteous Father, you are good. And we pray, and we desperately need you even now, right now, more every breath. Please help us. Help me that I would just be a mouthpiece, a vessel to be broken up for your glory and praise, the exaltation of your Son, as we discuss your word. And who am I that I would even take your words in my mouth? Who am I? but bless you that you have chosen those whom you have redeemed from the hand of the adversary to be your instruments. And I praise you for this. I desperately need you and ask your blessings. I pray for all the saints who would hear that they would be encouraged. And if there would be one sinner tonight, Lord, one who does not know you, does not know your Son, the Lord Jesus, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Bless your holy name. Amen. All right. Well, as I said, we're going to be talking about probably one of the most important subjects, I guess, for a Christian in their daily life. And I seem to say that every week. So, but they're all important aspects. We talk about the Trinity, and we've talked about a couple of other topics. And each time, if you haven't ever joined with us, the format is very simple. This is not going to be a deep doctrinal theological study. This program is designed for one thing, and I want to say that it's the average Christian. And I say it each and every time, I guess. I shouldn't say each and every time, but you get my gist. It's for the person, basically, if you're working 40 hours a week, you got the family, you got the dog, the cat, you've got a couple of cars, you got responsibilities, PTA, all of that stuff. And at the end of the day, you're desiring to be closer to the Lord, and you want to be fed, and you want to know something, and you want to grow. But honestly, the Lord has put you in a place where, you know what, you don't have the 8 to 10 hours a day to devote and study. But you want to continue to grow and grow deeper with the Lord and know and understand. Well, that's what tonight is going to be about. We're going to talk about something that I think has affected each and every true believer. And it's probably happened closer to the time that you were saved than later on. And for those who continue to walk, it does happen and continues to happen. But probably the greatest challenge that came at you regarding this was early on. All right, with that, I'm going to go ahead and read our text tonight, and then we're going to point out the one scripture, and we're going to talk about lawlessness, and we're going to talk about people's love growing cold. And I'm going to read actually all through verse 28, so that's going to take a minute or two, but we're going to be focusing on verse 12 and some surrounding text. So with that, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. If you have an ESV, NIV, King James, New King James, whatever, but there'll be a little differences. So I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Here's the word of the Lord. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many." Here's the key verse. "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then, if anyone says to you, "Behold, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, "Behold, he is in the wilderness," do not go out. "Behold, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. The word of the Lord. So it's interesting that when you start reading through Matthew 24 and we start hearing about end times and you start looking at all these different texts and, you know, wars and rumors of wars, it's interesting that the only thing that's mentioned twice in here, the only thing that's mentioned twice, kind of like bookends, it should be kind of a guide to the believer, is that it says, remember, this is right after the, you know, what the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus says, "See to it that no one misleads you." So there's a hint. Someone's going to be trying to mislead you. "For many will come in my name." I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus too. That's what they're saying. "And will mislead many." There are going to be many false prophets, people claiming to be something. And when I talk about prophets, we're going to get to that. Talking about things like the New Apostolic Reformation and other aspects such as cults, such as Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. We'll get into that. Probably the one might be the most obvious to some, but maybe not to others, is Catholicism. You know, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll talk about that as well. But so we see that Jesus first says, the first thing you need to be aware of is many are going to come in my name and they're going to mislead many. They're going to mislead. Then you find out that all this turmoil is going to be going on and they're going to turn on you. And at that time when all these nations, they're going to hate you because you're calling yourself a Christian. They're going to hate you because you stand for the word of God. And it says at that time, many are going to fall away and they're going to betray one another. And then all of a sudden, you see again in verse 11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. So you see in verse 5, will mislead many. In verse 11, and will mislead many. And I should have said there should be three parts. In verse 24, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. One of the major things that we have to examine, one of the major things is when you look at the context of Scripture, what's kind of the main theme that's happening? And what Jesus is saying is, man, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be happening externally. You're going to be seeing famines, wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be all of these things happening externally, all of these things externally. But the thing that you need to be most cognizant of, the thing that you need to be most aware of, the thing that should be perking your ears and a light bulb going off, is the number and the intensity of those who call themselves Christians but are false, who try to get in and deceive you, who try to lead you astray. They're the ones that are wanting to take your hope and trust that is in God. And let me explain this very clearly, and to his word. Let me be very clear. It's not your experience, but your obedience to God's word and your standing on that and your dedication to holding others accountable and especially yourself accountable to following God's word, that people will try to get you off of, especially those that are wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm just thinking of this as not one of the scriptures I have. Again, First Peter is like probably my favorite book in all of scripture. But if you go over to First Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 7 and verse 8. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. It's always about God's word. So when I was telling you that this attack upon your love happened probably closer to your conversion when the Lord saved you, think back. One of the first things that happens, I can't say 100%, but I suspect, and from what I've heard of others and what I know of myself and what I see in God's word, that when the Lord saves you, there becomes a great joy. There becomes a great intensity of just praise and worship and thanksgiving. And you're hungering and thirsting and feeding on the word of God. You're like a sponge and you take it up. And when you go to church, you tell people, guess what I was reading, and look at this beautiful truth. And you say something like, praise God that he is faithful and he has chosen his own. And you start saying some truths that are in God's word. And people are like, well, they're more than likely at first saying, well, hey, big buckaroo, settle down there. You know, you're like all full of zeal. And if you've ever heard this one, so how long you been saved? Ah, okay. Yeah, give it some time. That'll settle down. And immediately you have people coming in to try and steal the joy, the love away from you. When you see people that are in, who call themselves Christian, are in active lifestyles of sin, and you say, hey, we need to talk. What I see in God's word isn't lining up. Are you okay? Is there something I can help you with? Can I pray for you? And one of the first things you hear is, don't judge me. You can't judge me. And it comes about that as soon as you try to stand on God's word, you immediately get pounded over the head repeatedly from every angle. And it's not from the outside world predominantly, but from the inside, from those who say that they're believers. and it just kind of takes the air out of you. And after a while, you continue to go on and you go on. And if you're used to open air preaching, if you've been blessed to go out and to witness one-on-one, some of the biggest and greatest difficulties come from those who profess to be believers. And it just gets to be so detrimental, and it becomes just like this heavy weight. So it ends up, if you understand what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of mind. Something else just happened. I apologize. So I think that you can relate to your loving God, and you the Spirit is working in you, and one of the first things that happen is you start getting pounded. First start getting pounded about your love for God's Word and wanting people to know God and to, quote, experience God in His Word. As you open it up and say, look at this beautiful truth. And everyone starts in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I shouldn't say everyone. But a lot of people start going, new Christian, that zeal will, it'll taper down. Just give them a little bit of time. Which is in and of itself sad, and which kind of goes to this. But notice that in this scripture, it says that one of the main problems is that there are going to be false prophets, false Christs. They're going to show signs and wonders. They're going to do all sorts of things, and they're going to mislead many. And it tells us, even if it was possible, which it's not, to lead the elect astray. That's going to be some pretty amazing signs. That's going to be that if it's going to be even tempting even the elect, this has got to be some pretty powerful stuff. Don't think that that's something, you know, out of the ordinary. Remember back in the Old Testament with Moses, when he went up to Pharaoh, even the magicians were able to duplicate what Moses was doing, but they couldn't stop what Moses was doing. And I should say God through Moses. So when we look at this, let's just think about our life as we go through our daily lives. You go out, and you have some tracks, or you're walking, you're in the grocery store, you start talking with someone, and the opportunity to have the gospel or to talk about Christ comes up, and one of the first things that happens is that you just kind of like clam up. And like, if you've been rejected a couple of times, maybe someone's laughed at you, you're not sure how to handle it. So that's one aspect. What about when you see, for example, let's look at Bill Johnson of Bethel Church out in Redding, California. When you see someone like Bill Johnson in Bethel Church or Mike Bickle in IHOP or any of these others, Todd Bentley and Joyce Myers and some others, and they have these big followers, and then you see and know that it does not line up with Scripture, and you cry out and you go to talk to someone and say, how do you square what you're hearing and what you're espousing with God's word here? You try to dialogue in love, not because you want to win an argument, because you want someone to have the right relationship with the Lord. I want you to be at peace with the Lord. And so what ends up happening typically is you're getting pounded on. You get laughed at, or who are you to talk about God's anointed? Oh, you're just one of those Christians who always want to find something wrong instead of finding common ground. And every type of argument comes up, and all you're doing is opening up God's word and saying, take a look, though. You know, here's an example. You want to lay on a grave and soak up whatever, and yet we're told not to be on the graves and that we're not to pray to anyone. We're not to, the only one we're to look to is Christ Jesus and where he is and where he's at and his return. And we're to be completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And our eagerness is in the waiting and the return of Christ and walking in his footsteps, not trying to being drunk in the spirit or, you know, all this other garbage. And the first thing that happens is you start getting ridiculed and people start ganging up on you. And you do it a few times and after a while it starts wearing on you. And finally you're just like, you know what? I got too much going on in my life to deal with this. I've got to take care of my wife. I've got to take care of my kids. I've got my job to think about. And this is just ridiculous. And if you get involved in anything online, like in Facebook or Twitter, and you get these keyboard warriors, I've just seen that coming out, that get on and everybody wants to gang up on you. And you're just like, man, this is just not worth it. In fact, you know what? Forget this. I'm checking out. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. Whatever is the case is whatever. My friend, that is exactly what we're talking about. I'm going to take a short break, do something here, and kind of give you an idea. We're going to do a couple of commercials, one about who is UCJ, United in Christ Jesus, and then about supporting us, if that might be something that's in your heart. You get to hear my wife Holly's beautiful voice. She is amazing. And then we'll come back, so take a couple of minutes, listen to this, and then we're going to talk about something, especially because lawlessness is increased. When you look at the language, it's not as though it's out of control, but it's being directed. And that's something that a non-believer, or I want to call him a false Christian, want to understand, but it is the absolute bedrock for us who believe and who desire to see Christ exalted and sinners forgiven and rejoicing in the eternal life that Christ Jesus gives. All right, you hold on. We'll be back very, very shortly. Don't forget, if you got a question or comment, call in 929-477-1395. And all right, thank you.
United in Christ Jesus began in 2009 as a prayer and praise email for those in the U.S., South Africa, and Northern Ireland. From that humble beginning, the Lord allowed us to become a registered missions ministry that has reached hundreds of thousands, if not millions, locally, nationally, and around the world. Today, UCJ is active locally in Ohio and internationally in Ireland. Through street preaching and crosswalking, one-on-one interaction, working with local churches in evangelism training, track writing and distribution, social media, our website, and internet radio, we are so blessed by the many ways the gospel is being proclaimed. To find out more about UCJ and the Lord's saving grace in our lives, visit us today at www.unitedinchristjesus.org. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. United in Christ Jesus began in 2009 as a prayer and praise email. Andrew Fuller has been quoted as asking, "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" To that, a man by the name of William Carey responded, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes." You see, some had been called to the task of going down into the laboring wells of gospel proclamation, and others had been given the task of holding tight to the rope and providing support to those who venture out. Both carry a responsibility and a reward. United in Christ Jesus rejoices with those who feel called to join us in the exploration of souls. Equally, we value the necessity of those who are given charge of the ropes, in other words, those who support the work of missions through prayer and financial support. To successfully reach our world with the saving message of Jesus Christ, we are asking for your faithful monthly support. Just go to www.unitedinchristjesus.org and click on the Contribute button at the top of the page. Donation options are conveniently listed there for you. Again, thank you for holding the ropes for our United in Christ Jesus team. God bless you.
All right, I'm back. I get to learn all these, how to do all this dashboard cool stuff, and yeah, I'm learning. Amen. Okay, well, we're back. And again, if you're just joining us, I'm Shane Sands. I'm the founder and president of the Lord's Missions Ministry, United in Christ Jesus, and you're listening to Gospel Alliance Radio. It's a ministry of United in Christ Jesus, and tonight we're talking about the Matthew 24, verse 12, Scripture, as lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Well, if you jump to verse 13, it says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is one of the key parts. We were talking about because lawlessness is increased. Notice that the word is, it's not defining something that's happenstance. Well, it's just happening. No one expected it. Oh my goodness. That's not what's going on. It's actually by design. God's not sitting on his throne, unaware, out of control, but in his great plan to ever exalt his son, it tells us it will go from bad to worse. It's going to go that way. And as a Christian, as one who's following in the steps of Christ, we know that. We know that things are going from bad to worse. We're seeing all sorts of things happening in the world, but more importantly, we see things happening inside the so-called, I want to say, Christian church, but what I want to say is the general church. There's not the true ecclesia, the called out ones, but the ones that take the name only. It's like a title, but it's not true. And here's where it comes. Do we have the love to continue reaching out to people? To keep reaching out and asking and calling and begging and commanding and dialoguing and in every respect praying for and pleading with people not to desert and turn away from him who gives life, him who sustains, from the Lord? Or do we just give up? And do we just go our own way and say, you know what? I'm good. I'm good with the Lord. It's okay. Just going to walk away. You see, that's one of the indications of the selfishness. That's one of the indications of the the difficulty of following after Christ is that we're going to be given that gift of suffering. And most of the time we think of the suffering as an external something that's coming from the world. And indeed, there's going to be that happening. But in this context, what Jesus is telling us is as the church seems to be crumbling, as all these false prophets and all these false doctrines and these false Christ and people, quote, doing all of these signs and wonders, all of these experiential type of things and coming up and thus says the Lord God, and they're saying God spoke to me and he told me to relay this message to you, and they're not opening up and saying chapter verse and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, whom you sent. It's all about Christ. This is the great, great war. This is the dividing line. This is what causes people to either become hardened and fall away, or they become more tender and they cry out to God for grace, because their hearts are breaking and because they can feel their own flesh riling up. And you either become angry and despair and selfish, or you keep desiring just to be poured out, that one more might be saved or a sinner would be turned back. Again, you know, I think about 1 Peter, and you know, I always say 1 Peter, man, is like the standard operating procedure for the Christian life. And here we go. Jump over to chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again. Notice the reason why you've done this is because you've been born again. Not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living, enduring word of God. Whoa. Because you have been born again through this enduring word, the word of God. And if you keep reading through 1 Peter, it's all about being in God's word and loving one another. The reason is because of Christ. And it's just an amazing, beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture. So let's jump now here. We got some idea. Okay, so Christ is saying many are going to come and mislead. Many are going to try to mislead and then try to mislead even the elect. In Matthew chapter 24, if you do not see through verse 28, the three times they're talking about false Christians trying to mislead you, you need to take some time, take a step back. Don't see the forest because of the trees, but take a look. The key element out of all of this is that there are going to be those who are going to come in Christ's name and try to lead you astray. And the times that the Lord puts us into places for us to stand on the truth and in love, not in a combative, apologetic, I'm going to take you down and prove my way, but in a childlike, ambassador-like, here's the truth, and you got to turn from this. Or I encourage you to walk in the steps of the Christ and hear, look, don't believe me, but look at God's word. What does God say? God says it's all of grace. God says, you know, follow in my steps. If you love me, you will obey me. So now how does this play out in our daily lives? Well, if we jump over to the book of Wisdom, Proverbs. And if you look in Proverbs chapter 27, we're going to head over to Proverbs chapter 27 real quick. A couple of verses there, verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to read that. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So this isn't talking about going in and pounding someone over the head, going in and, you know, just trying to break someone down. This is about genuine love. This is about caring about someone where the difficult things come about. And you have to talk to someone. You'll notice that in Matthew, when it talks about, you know, church discipline, if your brother sins, go to him and show him his sin in private. Some people try to say that that's actually a sin against you, but that's not the context of the scripture. There are places where it says if your brother sins against you, but if your brother sins, go and show him his sin in private. We're first called by the Lord to make sure that we've examined ourselves and we've taken the log out of our own eye. Then we'll know how to take clearly see to take the splinter out of our brother's eye. But we're not called not to take the splinter out. We're called first to examine ourselves. Then we're called to go. Paul saw Peter in sin. He waited to ensure that what he was seeing was correct. So he waited, and this is that even when Barnabas was led astray, then he went and confronted Peter to his face. So we want to make sure, we want to be clear, we want to examine scripture, we want to be in prayer. But then we go to that person, and we go to that person in private. We don't have to make some big sounding board out of it. But we love. So in our daily lives, this is what it is. And we're not talking about the things that you would think are like the big things. Man, you're taking drugs. Well, obviously that's it. No, we're talking about the things that are difficult. Things that are going to hit home because we think that there are secret sins or there are freedoms in Christ. So, hey, I can easily talk about drinking alcohol, and it shouldn't be any problem because, you know what, it's my freedom. I can do it. And if you have a problem with it, maybe you just need to shut your ears. My friends, that's your love growing cold. You see, the key is to be in step with the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And if you go to Galatians 5 and read that, you know, not doing certain things. Well, one of the parts of this is to continue to love is how do I build my brother or my sister up? How, Lord, what can I do to be an encouragement? Well, one is you don't make use of the freedoms. So you don't broadcast that stuff out where it might cause someone else to stumble. You love your brothers or sisters. You love God's creation, fellow image bearers, by telling them, man, you can't be in this type of lifestyle. This is sin. You know, this isn't my opinion. This is what God tells us. And then you look and open up God's word and you show them and say, if I'm seeing this wrong, show me, and I apologize right here, but what I can see, and if I see the whole, this is what's going on. So we're called to holiness. We're called to walk in the ways of the Lord. We're not called for Christian liberty to say that I can live whatever kind of life I want to live. That's indeed what we're facing today with all these different false prophets. We have all these different things about if you're a Joel Osteen fan, man, it's your best life now. You can have all the wealth that you want. If it's, you know, the New Apostolic Reformation, it's all about what experiences you can have with God. You know, let's go to a class so you can learn how to be, you know, a visionary. Let's so you can have dreams and all this other junk. And they're doing it all in the name of Christ. Bill Johnson, man, when they had the gold dust coming out of the air conditioner and it flowing down, and he actually attributed that to the Holy Spirit. This is what we get at. There's a brother I saw in a video. I was so blessed to see him that there was a couple of people from this Reading church going somewhere, and he was talking in love. Look, explain this. And there was two guys and a girl, as I recall, and the girl just started laughing and giggling. And it's like, well, if you believe this, and they were trying to talk at first, but as soon as they were being encountered by the word and in the context of the word, they started getting upset. And they started to, the girl starts giggling, and you got to reach people because they go on deceiving and being deceived. If you go to 2 Timothy 3:13, it says it's going to go from bad to worse. Now, what does it say in 2 Timothy? Let's just take a quick look at the big old 2 Timothy real quick. It's a beautiful one here. And it tells us that, but evil men and imposters. Okay, think about that. Again, the context. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Continue to go through, and it says, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Sacred words. Scripture. Not your experience, not any of this other stuff, but God's word. You see, it's all about God's word. And how do we love? By standing on God's word, looking at Christ, where he is, and calling people to turn. Hey, man, I need you to just look at God's word. One of the hardest ones to deal with are, those who are in Catholicism. Catholicism is a cult. It is directly opposed to the word of God. It's not grace. It's not all of grace. It's grace and works. Justification is not based upon God's work and what he has done, but it's God's work, what he has done, and what you can do. And there's so many other things that go on with that, but that's the big one, that you're not justified by grace alone, faith alone. It tells us that when all of these things start happening, we're just going to have a tendency to want to shut up, and we're not going to want to talk, and we're not going to want to confront, because we just get tired of getting beat up. We just get tired. My friends, you cannot ever get tired of doing just like Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15, which I'm telling you, I believe more and more I read 1 Corinthians, and it's not just a butt-chewing book. It is an evangelistic book. It's like, hold on. Okay, here's chapter 12. We're going to talk about chapter 12 and gifts, and we're going to talk about 13, the best is love. And then we're going to talk about chapter 14, what you do in the church. And then 15 is, now hold on. Now you got all of this other stuff. It's the gospel. And my friends, this is the crux of how our love does not grow cold. If you take anything else away from this tonight, it's this. Remember, people are going to go from bad to worse. And evil and imposters are going to come up from within the church, outside of the church. They're all going to be saying that they're in some form, shape, form, or fashion a prophet, or they are a Christ. They're going to perform signs. As soon as you open your mouth, you are going to get blasted time and time and time again. It's going to happen throughout your entire life. Sometimes it will come in the form of subtlety. Sometimes it'll come in the form of condescending remarks. Sometimes it's going to come as though you're just a young person in Christ. Sometimes it's going to come in that you're one of those zealots. Sometimes it's going to take on all shapes, forms, and fashions. And it's going to want you to take your eyes off of Christ and continuing to follow in his steps and crying out to people, turn from your sin, turn and repent. God is a merciful God and he will forgive you. And I'm calling out to you right now who's listening, whether it's live here with me now or later. The gospel is all about what God has done. Our Christian lives is based upon not the experience we have, but what Christ, what God has experienced for us on our behalf. And that is, he has tasted death. He has suffered, bled, and died. Christ, God, has entered into his own creation. He has come. He has done what we could not do. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. He has satisfied God's wrath. He has paid the price. He has been the sacrifice. He has one time laid it all down, shed his blood, so that all that the Father has given to him, when they come, he will no wise cast out. Whoever lives to give intercession and make intercession, who is able to come to the help of those who are in need. Why? Because he came. He lived. He died. He shed his blood on the cross. He paid the price. The innocent gave his life for the guilty. And when he was on that cross, and he, just before he breathed his last, he cried out, "Tetelestai." It means, it is finished. It means there's nothing to add to or take away. The work, the appeasement, the satisfaction, the substitution was all accomplished on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn in two. Direct access to God the Father was accomplished through Jesus Christ. And when he died, that veil was torn from top to bottom, meaning God to man. It's done. It's over. It's open. Here it is, right here, right now. Follow me is what Christ says. Follow me. Simple devotion to Christ. Know me in my word. Do you not know that the Old Testament as well as the New Testament is all of Christ? It is all about Christ. You will hear this over and over and over. And what does God want from us? The Jews asked Jesus, I think it was in John 5, what must we be doing to do the works of God? And Jesus simply said, here's the work of God. Believe him whom he sent. Believe Christ. Love Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself, and you love your neighbor as yourself by continuing to point to Christ and point out sin, point out falseness. Man, that is wrong. It is wrong to affirm false teachers. It is wrong to affirm those who are outside of the church. It is wrong. You cannot be a part of something that calls itself the church when it does not even preach the gospel or point to Christ in repentance and faith, when it doesn't talk about grace alone, that it's grace that gives us the ability to walk in holiness. My friends, Christ has come, and that is the great, great love. Christ has come. And because God has come, we now know, for at the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do we die for our brethren? Do we die for those who are outside? Do we love enough to call those who claim to be Christians to account Not that we go out of our way looking and being busybodies and snoops, but when God opens a door and we see something, do we stop? Do we pray? Do we examine? Do we look? And when we're certain that we see what we see, do we care enough to go and say, brother or sister, I got to talk to you. Are you doing okay? What's happening? How's your walk with the Lord? What's really going on here? Lord, give me wisdom to know how to talk. When you see the false heretical teachings going on, do you cry out and say, hey, man, I know I'm going to get beat up over this, but I don't care. I love you too much. You've got to turn from this. This is taking you further from God. Perfect example of this. Perfect example. Old Testament. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Let's start looking at Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Solomon's son takes over, and God actually talks to Jeroboam and says, hey, look, some things are going to happen. I'm going to put you in charge of all these tribes. They're going to follow you. If you do these things, if you keep, you know, my words, my statutes, basically God says, if you follow me, I'm going to establish you forever. That's God's promise. We find out that Jeroboam really didn't love God. We find out that Jeroboam didn't really love the people that he was put in charge of. What we find out is this, that in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, he started saying in his own heart, if the people go back over, if they go and follow, I think it's 2 Chronicles 11, I could be wrong, I apologize. But if they go back to Jerusalem, their heart is going to be brought back to Israel. They're going to want to go back. And so he made a couple of golden calves. He didn't let the Levites be priests. He put up his own people. And we're told in God's word that he actually led the people astray. Here are all these people wanting to actually love and follow God and do what he's commanded. And this person, because he didn't believe God and was afraid that his power would be taken away, and he didn't believe God, he would rather lead the people astray in idolatry. And my friends, that is exactly what happens when you have people like Bethel or Catholicism, or when they want you to be like saints, or they want you to have these, quote, experiences, or try to be all these, you know, I guess, what is it, prophets or whatever. We love when we point people to God and his word. We continue to love because things are going to continue to get worse. Don't grow cold. Love the Lord. Follow in his steps. Leave the consequences and the circumstances up to him. Just follow in his steps. And my friends, you're going to find out that this world will continue to go from bad to worse. Look internally, be ever vigilant. Know God's word so intimately so that when the false comes out, you can know it. The Holy Spirit will convict you and bring you to remembrance of the word, and you will be able to identify it, and you can address it, and you can try to turn back and warn others. But we love by following God and his word and obeying him. Knowing that the world will hate us, and we will especially be ravaged by those who say that they're Christians when they're really not. Preach the gospel, call all to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and above all, love God and love your fellow image bearer. Love them, care for them. Okay, until next time, I hope and pray this has been a blessing to you, and we will be back again very soon with another another broadcast. If you have any ideas or thoughts or questions or anything like that you'd like to have talked about, visit us on Facebook or Twitter or on our website, unitedinchristjesus.org. All right, it's been a pleasure. God bless, grace and peace. Amen.